Okay. Did you see that we had a tweet sent to us from a listener called Sean Ellis? In the last episode, we spoke about ghosts taking taxis in Japan. And yeah. he sent us a tweet saying, "What taxi service do ghosts use?" Uber.
Hooray.
I like it.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Spooktator podcast. We are the show that examines paranormal related headlines in our own special way. My name is Hayley Stevens and I'm joined by Mike Gage.
Hello.
Ash Price. And Paul Gannon.
Hello, everybody.
Joining us for this episode is John Rutledge from the BBC Radio Wow show, The Unexplainers, who's also known as XC from Goldie Looking Chain. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. I don't know why I'm saying welcome, but hello.
We feel welcome.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
If our listeners aren't familiar with The Unexplainers, how would you describe it to them?
Oh, it's myself and a good friend of mine, Mike Bubbins. Mike is a non-believer in the paranormal. I want ghosts to be real to the point of, you know, being able to sort of hang out with them. Like BMXs and do that sort of stuff. But we also explain the unexplained. We look at things like sort of sea monsters, wild cats that have been spotted around the country, UFO crashes, and you know, ghosts are just one part of it. But we're just recording the second series at the moment, and it's a lot of fun. I think you can check it out on the BBC website. I think there's a page up for the Unexplainers on BBC Radio Wales website if you want to see what we get up to. But it's a lot of fun. Mike Bubbins, professional stand-up comedian, me, man who does rapping sometimes with Welsh novelty pop group, out and about meeting people and actually finding out some really interesting stuff. It's not just two blokes arguing with each other. We actually meet a lot of interesting people and we've been to some weird places. But maybe we'll talk about that later on. It's a lot of fun.
Have you ever experienced something weird, like you're investigating it and then you actually experience it?
Yeah, there's been a few things. We did an episode where we looked for sightings of big cats, and we went to a place called Beth Gellert, which is in North Wales. We went to stay at this farmhouse overnight, and the owner claimed that she had some sort of panther or something that came to visit and was like a regular thing on this farm, a regular fixture on this farm. And we set up trail cams and we spent the night there looking for stuff, didn't find anything until the next morning when we found a lamb that had been ripped apart by something, which was quite cool. No explanation for that. And then the ghost episode we did, we met a group, hung out with them, did an investigation, and there were a lot of strange things that happened during the course of the night. A lot of these sort of sensors were set up and these communication devices were set up, and there were things happening with little sort of lights coming on and sensors coming on when we asked questions, and there were strange feelings and emotions, not in a sexual way, just feelings and emotions going on. But no, it's really good. And also there was a UFO crash in North Wales on the Berwyn Mountain, and we met people who witnessed this, and they weren't crazy. These people weren't lying. You know, something did happen in the 70s, and so many things that have happened and so many things that are about to happen as well that are just, you just cannot explain what they're about. And that's what I love about it all. You know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Last episode, we asked you, our listeners, to tell us if you thought that people should call the police if they thought something paranormal was happening, after a Freedom of Information request revealed that dozens of people do so. 65% of listeners said they didn't agree that people should phone the police, which was a huge contrast to what we thought. Paul, you thought that it was wasting police time. So
it is wasting police time.
The listeners
call the police and say, "I got punched in the face by a ghost."
We've had this discussion. All right. Okay. You were wrong. Just live with it.
I'm not saying never report anything mysterious. I'm just saying if you honestly think you've been punched in the ghost by something from Rent-A-Ghost, you might want to call someone else.
If you've been punched in the ghost.
In the face.
Oh, in the face.
I was too busy thinking about Mr. Claypole.
Punched in the ghost by a face.
So Paul's made his feelings quite clear. But myself, Ash and Alistair, in the last episode, we felt that if people were scared, then they should phone the emergency services. And not to put you on the spot here, John, but who's right?
It's a tricky one. If, let's say, a member of the family has had half of their face eaten off by an invisible entity,
yeah,
you're probably going to want to call the police regardless.
Apparently not.
But, I mean, if it's something that's just maybe moving a few candles or, you know, just leaving a slight residue somewhere, then just clean it up and get on with it. You know what I mean? That's all I can suggest. But I don't condone wasting police time. They've got a lot of serious stuff to deal with. So
I have to say that if something is leaving a residue in your house, you might actually want to consider calling the police.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if it comes down to a residue, call the authorities.
Yeah.
If there's no residue, just get on with whatever you're doing.
You know. What if the residue is invisible?
Good question. If it's invisible, it's a strong question. I like it. If it's an invisible residue, pour some talcum powder over it to highlight it, then call the police.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Bit of bloody common sense, finally.
Yeah.
So has anybody been up to anything interesting?
Yes. Because you know I like to watch a lot of reality paranormal TV shows. I watch them all. Ghost Adventurers, Ghost Explainers, Ghost Vet. I don't know. All the ghost shows.
Ghost Vet.
I don't know.
Ghost Fetish.
Right, okay.
Anyway, the point being is that there's a new... Well, I say new one. It got cancelled ages ago, but I only just discovered it last week. It's called Ghost Bait. What do you think it's about?
It's about fishing with ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh!
I'd go with that as well.
Is it about trying to... I don't know, go out with an underage ghost. It's none of those things. No, it's a show where this paranormal group have this theory that by making people more scared, you got more chance of a ghost appearing. So it's exactly like Ghost Hunters, exactly like Most Haunted. You got it mostly in black and white. They go to someone's house. That person shows them around and say, I don't like that room. I don't like that room. I'm scared for my family. They look generally upset and also like actors. And then the first house they go to, this guy's renovating it, but apparently he's turning it from a normal house to a ghost train because he's putting spooky things up around the house, seemingly on purpose. But he thinks there's an evil demon in there. So, long story short, this guy's upset. They reckon the head of this ghost hunting group, they can use this guy's fear to lure out the ghost. So they put a bag over his head, put him in a haunted room, and monitor him going insane in the dark.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's like something from Jam.
It is. It's crazy.
Back when I was like a proper ghost hunter, I was approached about a television show in which they wanted to take a group of people who believed in ghosts and were scared of them. They wanted to handcuff them to one another and then lock them in a haunted house. And they were like, would you perhaps be interested in this show? No, I would not be interested in that show.
Piss off.
Did that show ever make it to the air?
No, I don't think they even made a pilot.
Aww. It sounds more like Saw.
Yeah, it really does. It's like,
Saw with ghosts.
Oh, hey there, Mr. Serial Killer.
So in this episode, they also capture footage of a bedspread being pulled out next to the guy who's currently being tormented by a ghost. And you can definitely see the string. Like, definitely.
If you do find a ghost is stealing your bed linen, then that is another instance where you should call the police.
Especially if there's some residue.
If you find ghost residue anywhere near a duvet or pants, then, you know.
And we found the tone for this episode.
Yeah, that's an excuse you could use for kind of cheating, isn't it? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, it's actually ghost residue.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't be surprised if that has actually happened, you know.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I've heard of a story who blamed his sexual misgivings onto late-night paranormal activity with a banshee. Or no, which is the ghost that meant to be all sexy for men?
Is it succubi? Yeah.
He didn't get away with it. He said it was that, but he didn't get away with it.
No, he didn't get away with it, and she got all the money in the divorce.
What, the succubus did?
No.
Weird.
Anyway, that's Ghost Bait. I highly recommend hunting for it on YouTube or whatever because it's awful and hilarious.
Mike, there have been some weird videos in the media this month. Have they proven to be as controversial as usual?
Yes and no. So we've all seen like some of the really crap pictures, some really crap video as well that I've posted on The Sun and the Daily Mail. First of all, have you all seen this video, right? Surely?
Yeah. Explain the video for those who may not have seen it.
Yeah, yeah. So what we can see is there's a video of two people. His name's Dean Johnson and Charlie Spaulding. They're a couple of paranormal investigators. And they go into this derelict churchyard. Where is it? It's in St. Mary's Church at Clophill. It's a derelict place. There's a little bit of history to it. Apparently it's been used for demonic rituals and things like this. But as they're walking up the path, you can actually see what looks like to be, or what they claim to be, is a hooded figure move from right to left.
You know about this thing called pareidolia, this condition where, you know, you kind of look for patterns in things, you know. So if you look up at a cloud, you'll see like the shape of Paul Daniels, for example, or you know, if you look at two oranges, it looks like two boobs because you put shapes of things. You know, your mind is always looking for patterns. So is this one of those? It looks a bit like a dude with a hood on, but it's
really is a dude with a hood on.
Okay,
that's the thing.
Is it just a hoodie?
No. Yeah. Does it say Nike across his front? Or
Are you sure it's a dude? I don't actually see a person. I just see something moving back there.
It could be. Do you know what it could be? It could be the way that the camera's moving. So it's like it's panning across the doorway. So it's capturing something on one side. But I still think it's a dude in a costume. That's the way.
Do they have costumed actors on the site?
No, well, no, I don't think so.
You don't.
Not as far as I'm aware.
Didn't look.
It's derelict, isn't it? So, but the thing that
so that doesn't make any sense. So you're saying that this ghost video is a costume character, but they don't have costume characters on the site.
Well, no, because it's a derelict area.
So then it can't be a costume character.
Could it be a drunk sparrow?
It could be a drunk sparrow.
This is an option. This is an option, guys.
It is. It's just as valid.
Yeah, like from a scientific point of view, you've got to take everything into account and then whittle it down to what it possibly could be. So, you know, if somebody did drop a bottle of gin, a sparrow flies in, it could, you know what I mean? This is the thing. And until somebody hangs out with a ghost for 3.5 hours and takes him into a Wetherspoons, has a curry with him, do you know what I mean? And has a nice night out and then he goes back to the afterlife, we just won't know. We just won't ever know, you know? I'm looking at the clip. I'm looking at the clip now as we're speaking.
Yeah, me too.
And
it looks
so,
like a shadow or something.
Yeah, this is it looks fleeting.
It does move from right to left, though, but that could be the camera panning.
I think that's what it is. I think as the camera moves, you see the shadow from a different perspective. But when his head moves past, it becomes less looking like a hood and it becomes more like a windsock. And then you can see like the angle's changing of it all. So that's why I think it looks like a shadow.
Yeah.
Right. You are completely right, yeah. And you've also got the actual tombstone there as well.
Yeah.
Right onto the door, yeah.
Run away like a moonlight shadow.
It's all good. and to me, it doesn't look suspicious at all. But it could be a shadow. But it also, in my opinion, it also could be something set up.
Yeah. You know that famous footage of Bigfoot just sort of walking across the woods? And he sort of turns around and you know, that was it in Colorado that happened.
Patterson-Gimlin film.
Yeah, that famous bit of film. I mean, these guys may have just thought, oh, we need to get some hits for our website. Let's just get a dude in a hoodie.
That's exactly what I thought. They're both paranormal investigators. If it had been a normal person, well, I say a normal person. You know, it might have been a little bit less suspicious, but the fact that they're paranormal investigators, it adds a little bit of a curveball to it.
Yeah, I mean, if it had been like a bodybuilder from Hull and his girlfriend, and they'd gone out for a day trip, and he was into filming doorways, and he'd filmed the doorway, and then this thing had come past, and it had turned it and had two glowing red eyes, and it had gone, leave this place. There's more chance that I'm going to believe that it is a full on sort of spirit entity, but there is that little bit of doubt.
Yeah,
you know, and there's definitely no evidence of any residue in that footage.
No residue.
No, sadly,
there's no residue.
So no need to call the police.
You know, this is it, a ghost snail. There is such thing as a ghost slug.
Is there?
Yeah.
Sound.
yeah, there's There's such thing as a ghost slug. They're invading Britain's hedgerows, and they're killing all our slugs by eating them, apparently. So,
oh, my God, they are. There actually is a...
There is a ghost slug, and they're really big. They're really big. They're really nasty.
And they're kind of, like, white and translucent.
Yeah, ghost slug. If you put four or five on your face and run through a shopping centre at 3 a.m, you'll terrify everybody. Fact.
Okay. Now, in episode 4, Michael Marshall of the Good Thinking Society spoke briefly about his work investigating Peter Popoff. But Joe Nickel, who is the US paranormal researcher, who's probably the world's only professional paranormal researcher, has recently waded in on the subject too, hasn't he, Ash?
Joe's written a piece for the Centre for Inquiry, just kind of talking a little bit about Peter Popoff. And he talks about how in 2002 he went undercover to see Peter Popoff. And at one point he kind of stood up when Popoff was looking for people who were afflicted and ill, and Popoff kind of blessed him from a distance. And towards the end of this, Popoff was giving out miracle spring water. And really, for those of you who probably aren't aware of Peter Popoff is a lying bastard. And
your opinion.
He was exposed as deceiving people back in the 1980s by using a covert microphone system and kind of pretending that he was gathering information psychically about people. He was discovered and went bankrupt, but he is back now, and he is offering this miracle spring water. And this is kind of something that Joe Nickel talks about, that he was giving out lots of this miracle spring water, and it's to help you with all manner of things. He does these infomercials as well, where he tells you, if you're in debt, I can get you out of debt. I pray for you if you have my miracle spring water. Not his residue, just spring water.
They're close, but they're not the same thing. Yeah.
They are. So he's kind of still doing this, and he's still operating. He's still sending out all of this information. And so Nickel kind of went there. He's written about this recently, but it was in 2002 that he actually went. So Popoff's clearly been doing this for the best part of 15 years or so.
Yeah, because Marsh went in the last couple of years. Michael Marshall went into the audience of a Peter Popoff. I wouldn't call it a show. What would you call it? Like a
rip-off experience.
A rip-off experience.
Yeah.
I don't think he puts that on the poster, to be fair.
Fakerama.
What do they call it? Like a
sermon, kind of like a sermon. Simon.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
And he went in and he completely just went undercover as though he was a believer. And so he's basically doing the same stuff that he was doing when Joe Nickel went to see him in 2002.
So when you say go undercover as a believer, do they stop you at the door and say, do you believe in Popoff? And you go, yeah, and they let you in. is that all it takes to get in?
He's wearing a dodgy Dick Tracy hat.
I think all you have to do to kind of go undercover as a believer in psychics is pay them the money and not grumble about it.
One where Joe Nickel went undercover, he would pop off at the end. I believe he did this with Marsh as well. He asked for offering envelopes where you kind of give your financial offerings to him. And at this one in 2002, apparently he was, in exchange for these envelopes, giving out wristbands imbued with the power of Dr. Jesus.
Dr. Jesus.
That's the best rap album I have ever heard.
That is amazing. Dr. Jesus. Dr. Jesus. Why is no one in the rap game call themselves Dr. Jesus? That's just brilliant. That is just pure genius. Dr. Jesus, that's amazing. That is amazing. That's just blown my mind. Brilliant. Brilliant. I would buy miracle water off someone called Dr. Jesus. I don't, whether it works or not, I would, you know, without a doubt, Dr. Jesus, what a great name.
Well, you're in luck here, John, because he's giving it away for free.
Yes. Oh, yes. Get in.
All you have to do is put up with about a dozen begging letters from
Who's giving it away for free?
Peter Popoff.
Yeah, well, he's not Dr. Jesus, is he?
that's his AKA.
AKA Dr. Jesus, yeah.
It's his rap name.
Yeah, that's you know, when he's dropping bombs. He's Dr. Jesus, you know. Wow, that's just made my night.
I might resurrect you back once popped a cap in your ass, yo.
Oh, brilliant. Just brilliant. Dr. Jesus, yo. DJ Dr. Jesus. This is so good. Oh.
Grandmaster Judas as well.
That's good. I like that.
They praise him at the last track.
Cut Master Christ.
They have a bit of beef with MC Pilot. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant.
Oh. Anyway, what are we talking about?
It ended at a crossroads.
Oh my God, stop.
Swing and miss.
Basically, Peter Popoff has been selling people bathwater. And it's, you know, it's, I don't know. It's that, like, that snake oil thing where you get, like, one of those traditional Romani gypsy caravans, turn up into a small town, and then just go, yowza, yowza, round up, round up, and get a load of people in. Get a mate with like a crutch, sell them some sort of random juice, and then your crutch goes, oh, I can walk again, and he tap dances, and then everyone buys the juice, and then you get chased out of town.
Del Boy, and,
even Del Boy was that crooked.
I mean, Peckham Spring.
He did the massage thing on Uncle Albert.
Yeah.
He had exploding sex toys as well, remember that?
Yeah, you know, so... There's a market in it, but it's just the whole fact that none of it is real is where it gets a bit dodgy. You know, telling someone with like a shattered kneecap to stand up and feel the power of some sort of entity. Yeah, Dr. Jesus bringing you back to life is all a bit weird.
Well, this actually happens, doesn't it, on the streets? There's that group that I know quite well called Healing on the Streets. And They basically heal people on the street for free. And I got into trouble because I complained to the Advertising Standards Authority that these guys were handing out leaflets saying they could cure everything from paralysis to cancer to crippling disease and AIDS, everything. So yeah. I sent a leaflet to the ASA and they told them to stop making those claims. And it went international and like I was in Sky News and everything. But Peter Popoff is completely different in a way because, I don't know, is he different though? Is he?
Well, he's, at least back in the 80s when he was doing what he was doing, he was knowingly deceiving people because he was hot reading. He was gathering information beforehand and having it relayed back to him.
I just don't want to be sued.
I believe he actually even kind of accepted it at some point in the 80s before he was, the whole bankruptcy thing came off. But yeah, I mean, you know, in that situation, it, I think, is a little different because these people probably genuinely believe they can cure you.
It's interesting because there was recently a petition started on the, you know, the UK government petition website thing, whatever it's called. And the petition basically said, make all those who sell psychic services prove that their abilities are real. And basically saying that those who claim to have psychic abilities should have to prove under proper control conditions that they actually possess those abilities. And it kind of, when you see a petition like this, to me, it didn't seem like such a good idea because it wouldn't stop people going to see psychic con men. But then when you see something like Popoff and people like him and also some of the big name psychics and mediums out there who clearly, you know, are not doing what they claim they're doing, it makes you wonder what the right approach to this is. Should they have to prove their abilities before they can take money from people?
If you have to take a driving lesson to pass your test to learn to drive a car, I think it's only right that you have to pass a psychic test before you can heal me of my, bum grapes, whatever you want to fingers on.
Sorry to hear about that.
I think it depends what we're talking about when we talk about psychic. Because psychic is such an umbrella term. Most of the time when people talk about psychics, they do tend to be focusing and thinking more about mediumship than actual general psychics. You know, metal bending telekinesis doesn't tend to get roped into the same thing. But, you know, with mediumship, I think it's really important to remember that mediumship and mediums, for lack of a better analogy, are the priests of spiritualism. And even though we might look at it and say, oh, that's nonsense, if we're going to demand that mediums have to prove they can communicate with the dead before they can operate within spiritualism, then does that open the door to demanding that priests have to prove they can communicate with God before becoming priests? I'm sure some people would say that's a good idea, but it does kind of open up a questionable can of worms.
But then that goes back to the Healing on the Streets guys, doesn't it? Because they're Christians from Christian churches. So the local group near me, HOTS, as they call themselves, Healing on the Streets, they're from a collection of churches in the city of Bath, and they go out and they claim to heal people. And the Advertising Standards Authority said that they had to, they didn't have evidence to prove that they could do what they were saying, that prayer could cure. So actually, when it comes to things like that, Christians do tend to have people demanding evidence of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certain scenarios, but I mean, also a lot of the deception that goes on is covered by other legislation as well already. I certainly don't think it's an easy black and white issue, but I don't also think that this petition would do a hell of a lot of good, but also it does ignore the origins of mediumship and what it is actually a part of on a wider scale. Just my two cents.
I wrote this down. Peter Popoff put a person's paycheck upon a plate, perhaps to pay a prozzy. is that all right? Is that legal?
Probably not. Accusing.
But allegedly. Begin with P.
Put allegedly in there.
But that's why I put perhaps.
Does anybody else have any opinions on the psychic petition thing?
It's, there should be one.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. There's always going to be someone who is going to get wrapped up in it. There's someone who's a little bit fragile, you know, who's going to be easily manipulated, and people like this are always going to come along and sort of rip them off. So I there's not much you can do about it, because these things kind of, I guess, they start quite small, make them a load of money, and by the time they get busted, like this Popoff guy, they just disappear off and then come back again and do it again in another guise. So maybe a test where, like, you might have a scab on your arm and you're from the government and you'd sit with these people and say, okay, heal the scab using your mind, heal the scab using your mind, heal the scab using your mind. And if they can't heal the scab using their mind, then they're not allowed to do it.
Yeah, I don't...
What's the advertisement's going to be, though? Could anybody who's got scabs please turn up Parliament... And
well, you just get a leading sort of a member of society who's had a fall that week, you know, maybe riding his bike to work or you know, or just cut his finger.
Playing with a cat rather viciously.
Yeah.
Messing around with a pig.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, but it, yeah, Peter Popoff will continue to do what he does until... until he pops off.
Nice. Well, I mean, people, you know, consumers, customers are already covered by the Consumer Protection from Unfair Trading Act 2008. And that was the act that replaced the Fraudulent Mediums Act of 1951. And, you know, people who go to see psychics at theatres, and I think that's probably who this petition was aimed at, people like Sally Morgan and Derek Okora and, until recently, Colin Fry and that kind of person. People who pay money to go and see them are protected as customers. They already have legislation in place that will protect them. And in my opinion, and this is just my humble opinion, if you start legislating against psychics and demanding they do a test, they're not going to do the test, and that will mean that they're not allowed to do public shows. So what will happen is they'll just do shows in places where it's not advertised, so like secret shows almost.
Oh, you mean like drive them underground?
It'll drive them underground.
Yeah, like a speakeasy.
A black market of psychics.
Like the 18.
Yeah, you know? Give me some crack and I'll tell you what happens and you die.
You want to buy some prophecies?
I quite like the idea of the A-team being a bunch of psychics on the run from the authorities. I ain't going to no church, sucker. That'd be fantastic. That'd be so good. What a great concept. But you're right. I think, yeah, I mean, there's always going to be someone looking to rip someone off. And no matter what you do, they will just go underground to do it.
It's best to have them kind of... Well, it's not best to have them ripping anybody off, but it's... I think it's better for it to happen where people can be protected by these unfair trading regulations.
They need to go on a register of sorts, do you think? Is that an idea, or is that a step too far?
There are already organisations that actually do have things like that, of accredited mediums that have passed their own internal tests. Probably not very good standard, but they do actually exist. You know, you can actually dig out a respectable accredited medium rather than one kind of, you know, dressed in long skirts with a crystal ball telling you to meet someone who's tall, dark and handsome. Like Darth Vader.
Accredited how, though?
Well, there were various organisations. There's no official body for mediumship, but there's kind of smaller ones that kind of try to regulate their own membership. And the people who kind of try to pass these internal tests don't have to just do mediumship demonstration. They have to show a full understanding of spiritualism, the history of it, where it came from. Basically the type of things that I guess a priest would have to do before they can practice. So there is these lists do exist, whether or not they meet the scientific standard.
The NUS, the National Union of Spiritualists.
Yes, there's a few, yeah.
Mm.
They have quite strict guidelines on how psychics or self-proclaimed psychics should operate and act. And with people like, you know, the big names like Derek Okora and so on, they actually frown upon those sorts of people. But then even within, you know, when I went on to BBC Two on that debate show, what is it called? Any Questions?
Big Questions.
The Big Questions. When I was on The Big Questions, there were people, we were talking about faith healing, and there were people from who were spiritualists on there who were making ludicrous claims, absolutely ludicrous claims. So I don't think you can rely on those organisations to kind of monitor who is and isn't claiming to be a psychic and who is doing it in the right way, because actually when you start digging down, there's some absolutely batshit crazy stuff.
Hmm. I mean, maybe as opposed to like passing a government-imposed test, maybe there was some sort of regulating body that at least these people had to sign up to, so that at least then consumers had a bit more protection. And that, you know, the only people who got accepted onto the register were people who were genuinely doing it because it's part of their religious practice, rather than just doing it at the end of a pier.
I don't know. I don't think I agree. I think that gives it some kind of
legitimacy.
Yeah, it gives it legitimacy that I don't think it has.
Yeah, I'm just spitballing.
I think this is a good debate point that maybe our listeners, maybe this is what we ask for the feedback on. Do people agree? Should people who claim to be psychic have to prove that they're psychic before they can take money from people? Should they sign up to a register? or should they just continue to operate under the current legislation? Let us know in the usual places. So this has been another episode of the Spooktator podcast. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Mike Bubbins, who I work with on The Unexplainers, we've got a second series of that coming up later this year. But Saturday the 27th on BBC Radio Wales, which you can listen to online or via the internet or something, we've got a pilot of a sitcom that we've written called Taking Care of Business that goes out at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoon on BBC Radio Wales, and I think it's repeated again the week after as well. So if you're on iPlayer or any of those sorts of things, check it out. That's a bit of fun. And like I said, The Unexplainers, I think you can check it out via, if you type it in, BBC Radio Wales, The Unexplainers, and second series is coming up later this year as well. So there's two things. Is that any good?
Yeah, that's perfect. And what we'll do as well, we'll put links on the Spooktator website so people can find it there if they want to.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Thanks, guys. That's nice.
That's all right. Does anybody else have anything?
Go to @PaulGannonShow for all my podcasts. I have this one. I don't know how many podcasts I do at the moment. It's bloody ridiculous. I do this one. I do one called Geeky Monkey, which is a geek-based magazine one. I do Cheap Show, which is me and Eli looking through bins for comedy. And I also do The Fictionary, which is a word-based, comedy-based, podcast-based.
And weren't you just on the Zed List,
Dead List, talking about Harry Price.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
I haven't listened to it yet, actually.
Zed List, Dead List with Izzy Lawrence. Yeah, it's a very good podcast, and the Harry Price one was great. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or SoundCloud. If you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us. And you can follow us on Twitter @TheSpooktator. Or facebook.com/spooktator. Feel free to email us your comments, suggestions, or stories suggestions to throwghosts@spooktator.co.uk. And remember, spooky is in the eye of the beholder.
Throwghosts, is that FROGHOSTS?
Really? Really?
What am I missing?
Throwghosts. Like you've got a ghost and you're throwing it.
Oh! Jeez.
Oh, throw ghost.
Did none of you know
throw
that?
Ghost. Throw. Right.
I thought you said throw ghost, as in like afro.
Yeah.
Really? Oh shit! Maybe that's not a very good email.
Some person in Nevada's like, "What the fuck is all this shit?"